In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, here I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we will continue with our letters, heading 133.
Letter number 133 to Federico Abresch. Dearest Son in the Divine Volition, I answer to your most dear letter, and I pray that Jesus will give you ever new graces and light in order to make everyone understand the living in the divine will. Oh, how Jesus longs for it and reaches the point of crying for the desire that we know the holy divine will and that it reign and dominate in the whole world, because it is a decree of the sacrosanct Trinity that divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just as creation and redemption were decreed, so has the kingdom of the divine will upon earth been decreed. Therefore, he will use all his art. He will take the creature from all sides, with terrible chastisements, with amazing miracles, so that this may happen. He will reach such an extent that the first one in the sacrifice will be Jesus himself. He will place himself at the head of all of our acts, so that all of them may flow in the sea of the divine will. And if Jesus is chastising us, it is exactly because of this, because the creatures, especially on the religious side, instead of allowing Jesus to conquer them through love, as he wanted, have let themselves be taken through chastisements. Poor Jesus, how much he suffers, and how he sighs and cries because the creatures do not pray him, do not press him to concede them the gift of living in the will of God. And if he finds one, he takes her in his arms, he makes feasts, he feels like a victorious king who, although he had to suffer for 6,000 years, receiving wounds and defects, has now finally made his first conquest. And he enjoys her triumphantly, calling all of heaven to celebrate his first victory. And while he makes feast, he places his sanctity, his love, his light, his graces at the creature's disposal and gives her the right to her celestial fatherland. So, even being on earth, she possesses the celestial fatherland and can say, all that is done in heaven, I do on earth. Even more, they do it enjoying and delighting. I do it making new conquests, which serve to bring new joys to heaven. Therefore, say to all, there is no greater thing or a more amazing prodigy than to live in the divine will. We place ourselves at God's disposal, and he places himself at our disposal, to the point of making us form as many Jesuses for as many acts as we do in his holy will. The seas of the divine will are not yet known. If they were known, all would dive into the sea of the divine volition to live perennial life in it. Therefore, let us pray and wait. Jesus has the centuries in his power. Whatever he does not do today, he will do tomorrow. Because today the minds are blind. Tomorrow he will find eyes which will be able to sustain the light of the divine will, and he will do all that he has not done today. Sending you my regards, I leave you all in the immense sea of the divine will, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, January 15th, 1945. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. It's a very long letter, as you can see. Let's try to go through this letter and try to find the doctrine of the divine will in this, the teaching that Luisa Brugaretta has given us through this correspondence. You know that this holy desire of our Lord Jesus to give us the kingdom of the divine will. We know that when the Lord Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about the kingdom of the divine will. He couldn't express it in that way as is expressed in the writings of Luisa Picaretta. The church has yet to understand and to discern this, to understand it, to be able to teach it openly. So we are basically, like the psalm says, those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. So we are just doing that in a way. The desire that our Lord Jesus has for this gift to be known. So the kingdom of heaven that is presented to us in parables, he possessed that kingdom with himself, within himself. So now the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, in heaven, the will of God is completely done. There is not any obstacle there because everybody is fixed in the will of God. Now, for us to be able to understand this gift, of course, as we read before in previous passages, we need to read, we need to understand, because every knowledge we encounter, every divine truth is a seed that will expand our capacity, that a little by little, our mind that is blind, it will receive that light that we can say supernatural light that will enlighten our heart, our soul, our intellect. All the faculties of the soul will be enlightened, in a way purified, if we can say, by those divine truths that we encounter. And here Luisa Picaretta is telling us also what we encounter in the Book of Heaven, that the Lord is trying to conquer the creature by love. But if we do not answer that call to unite ourselves to his will by love, then he will have to use another attribute of his, which is justice. And our Lord Jesus, he manifested this and the Book of Heaven to Luisa Picaretta, and Luisa Picaretta basically she is repeating this, that this the justice of God will be manifested in terrible chastisements, different ways. Because if the creature doesn't want to correspond and to adhere through love, then he will have to use justice. Justice has to be met always, but the Lord is using, God is using his divine attribute of love to satisfy justice. But if we don't answer to that call through love, he will have to use this attribute of his, which is justice again. These chastisements that he talks about in other part of the Book of Heaven, in the Book of Heaven, he mentions that he will use nature. many different things to bring us back, because the whole point is to restore what we lost. The restoration of the gift that was lost by the fall of Adam and Eve. And now through every single act that we do. That's why our Lord Jesus, he puts himself as the head. So he becomes like the funnel through which all our acts can flow through also. And we have talked about this concept of for every act that we do is another Jesus, basically the divine life in there, present in us. So making us, right? Making Jesus present in every act. So to have as many Jesus as we can. So every act may become a mirror, a reflect Jesus. So in that way, what we hear today in the second reading of Romans, that he's the first one, right, of a multitude of many that will come. And if we love God, if we make the point of loving God through every single act that we do, then even the difficult acts, everything works, will work for our own good. Spiritually, it will enlarge, expand our souls, and God will receive. So everything works for the good of all those who love God. So we just have to love him with our acts, and he will do the rest in us. Again, our mind, our intellect, our memory will have that disposition. It will become a second nature to us, which in reality should be the first nature, because this is how we were intended to function since the beginning. The Lord tells us in the Book of Heaven that if we don't again submit ourselves to his will through love, the divine attribute of justice will have to operate. In the Hours of the Passion, we see that one of the promises of the Hours of the Passion is that the Lord will spare those places that they meditate and those souls that meditate with the Hours of the Passion. And in one of the passages, he says, oh, how I will love to have at least one person in every single town, because then he could, his divine justice could be appeased, mitigated. In this writing, Luisa Picaretta says, therefore, say to all, so he's telling to Federico, say to all that there is no greater thing or more amazing prodigy than to live in the divine will. Because the divine will is the source of everything that exists. We could say that is the essence of God. Our Lord Jesus, we know that in God there is no time. He's outside time. So for him, as the Bible tells us, sacred scripture tells us, one day within his presence is like 1,000 years. So he is willing to wait. He's patience himself. So he's willing to wait, but because it has been decreed, just as right before the fall, God decreed that he will give us the redemption, the gift of redemption, when he said, and a spring, one of your offsprings will crush the head of the serpent, promising the Redeemer. That promise has been fulfilled in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. and is being fulfilled in every baptized, and then is being fulfilled in every single act that we do in union with the will of God. Because by every single act, we experience that restoration of the gift in us. So this way of uniting ourselves with the will of God is something that a little by little the church has to understand, and actually is not really new, because everything is a continuation. This is how God does things. That's why also we can say that the Book of Heaven and the writings of Lisa, they do not contradict in any way the teachings of the church, but they give us a new insight, a way to understand that in its fullness, because we already have the fullness of revelation in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have not understood everything. We have not understood the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, most of you know, I have mentioned many times, I have mentioned Brother Lawrence and his method of being in that constant awareness of the presence of God. That's a little light, but he really understood that union, that he could love God through every single act that he did. Basically, calling the divine life in every single act, as many acts, so to have as many Jesuses, as many the divine presence, as many times. We can say to have the divine presence as many times as we have acts, as we do acts. See, Brother Lawrence, he said at the end of his time, he said, "Now that I have learned to live in this way, I don't need the spiritual directors. I only need the sacraments and to be able to operate in this way." Because now, he said, "I am doing now what I shall do through all eternity, blessing, adoring, glorifying God, giving Him my whole heart." He put it like that. So, in this way, we learned, like Brother Lawrence, to live in the way, to live right here, to begin living right here in the way we hope to live for all eternity, blessing, adoring, glorifying God, singing with the whole multitude of saints and the angels, "Holy, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts," over and over and over, blessing, adoring, glorifying God. Now in that perfect vision, but now we begin, like Brother Lawrence tells us, living that life that we hope to live for all eternity right here. And this is a way to see this gift of the divine will. You know, as a way to give our will to the Lord, even Saint Ignatius of Loyola, after his conversion and he became a judgment, you know, actually his way of contemplation is really, really beneficial to read the Book of Heaven and to live in the divine will, to enter into that mode. If you ever have the chance or the opportunity to pay one of the retreats of Saint Ignatius of Loyola, I highly recommend to you take it. You will not regret it. Just make sure that it's a good, solid, teaching, or a place that is solid, somebody who is solid in the teaching, but because you know now we have so many versions of that, but just As long as it's something solid and something that is really from the Jesuits, from that school, then take it, because then you will say that Saint Ignatius of Loyola, that he's regarded as one of the spiritual masters in spirituality. But he, in his way of giving himself and trying to acquire that union with God, because all the saints, they search for this in their own way. He came with this beautiful prayer that he used, and then we can use it also as a prevenient act. We used to pray with it as a way to give our will to the Lord and to enter into that mode. Take, Lord, and receive my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. All that I have and I possess, you have given to me. To you, O Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace, for that is enough for me. That's the prayer. Notice that in here he captures something very important that we have been talking about throughout these classes. Catechism of the Catholic Church 358, I think. Let me see. 358. Because the catechism tells us that we have to offer back. And here he's doing exactly that. I turn everything to you. It's a way of offering himself. So he's, in a way, we can say, he's recalling, he's remembering, and he's giving everything back. The only thing that I will say is missing in that prayer is that he was not aware that he was praying for the coming of the kingdom. He did it out of love for God. That fulfills the first part of the Our Father. Hallowed be your name. Sanctificetur nomen tuum. May your name be glorified in everything I do. So he sought to do everything and to do this prayer to glorify God. And that's his moral for the Jesuits. Ad majorem Dei gloriam. For the greater glory of God. But now we have to add something every time, even as we remember, recall, and offer his whole life. Now we offer everything that he did also for the coming of the kingdom, not only to love God, but for the coming of the kingdom, and that he will receive that new shower of joy and peace, of happiness that in a way he's missing. So you see that all of this is not new. But now, with the writings of Luisa Picaretta, and she's telling us through these writings of the letters, specifically through this one, that the Lord will do amazing things. But this is the most important thing now. This is the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing. Now we have received that food that was for infants, that Saint Paul was talking about. It is the time now to take solid food. The will of God operating in us, breathing, palpitating, that constant awareness that we want the divine will to operate in us for the praise and glory of God, and for the kingdom to descend, so that decree that is in the Our Father may be fulfilled, because it will be fulfilled. And we are so blessed that we are called to live in this way, that we can say, those first, in a way, those first disciples that the Lord is calling to work in his vineyard for the kingdom of the divine will. So our duty as creatures, our response should be, yes, fiat. I give you my will. I give you my will. And every single time, I give you my will over and over and over. Even when we encounter sickness, difficulties, we have to remember what St. Paul says. Everything works for the good of those who love God. So what do we have to do all the time? Love him, and love him over and over and over again. What do we have to do? Give our will over and over and over and over and over again until our last breath. For what? For the praise and glory of God, for the kingdom to descend. And if we know that we do that, everybody will receive. We don't even have to mention that. Don't worry, God will not forget. He knows everything, He is all knowing. Everything is included already. Everybody will receive according to his capacity. He's totally just. He gives to each one as they are able to contain or to receive. And then finally, our own sanctification, because through every act we are being sanctified. Through every act we become a living oblation. Through every act we become martyrs. Through every act, we become victims, immolated, not only for ourselves, for the salvation, our own salvation, for the salvation of the whole world. Because united with our Lord Jesus, He, putting Himself as the head of all the human race, as united with Him, we begin to do what Jesus, our Lord Jesus, was doing here in His humanity. So this is beautiful. This is the way of living in the divine will. To have that perennial life of the divine will in us, meaning continuous, without gap, without any interruption. So this way of living really is beautiful. Then only in this way we become the temples of the Holy Spirit, living temples. We become living houses of prayer. More majestic, more beautiful than the temple in Jerusalem itself. And why the Lord will send these chastisements? Because we are that temple, and the Lord is filled with zeal for the house that belongs to Him, that is our soul. His will has to be enthroned, and instead we have become, as the gospel says, these are not my words, but sometimes our soul has become or becomes at the end of thieves. Because the human will is filling us with what a human will knows how to produce, imperfect things. You know, the good thing is that the Lord, He sees us as that pearl that is in the field, as that pearl that, as that treasure that is buried in the field. He sees us as that pearl that the merchant went and find. So he himself is the merchant who has come and find that pearl is us. And he says in another part of the gospel, it's not right to throw pearls to the swine. So that's why it's not lawful for us to throw ourselves to the world, to give ourselves to the human will. Because we are that fine pearl. Isn't that wonderful? So there is no need for us then to be sad, to be depressed, to seek validation from other people. But first of all, to know what God says of each one of us. You are my precious pearl. Because with the same love that God loves all the human race together, He loves one single soul. We just have to develop that capacity to be able to receive that much love that he wants to unleash. So that's why it's the most important gift. When Elizabeth Carreta says, "Say to all, there is no greater thing or more amazing prodigy than to live in the divine will. God will not cheat us. He will not give us less. This is the gift that he, from all eternity, had in mind for us. And even though we experience the fall, the loss of this gift, he has not changed his mind. And he uses all these parables, all these things to take that blindness from our eyes, to take that darkness from our souls and our minds, so that we may recognize that this is the gift that he wants to give us, so that we may be able to embrace it. So let us continue with the next letters.
Letter number 134 to a nun, Involuntate Dei. My good daughter in the divine volition, I write you a few lines. I beg you to never put aside the divine will. Let it be your life, your breath, and heartbeat. If you want to make yourself a saint, if you want peace and to give peace to all, if you want a divine power to invest you and transform you into Jesus himself, I beg you to think of nothing else but to live in the divine will. I return my regards to Mother Superior and to Sister Dionysia. And leaving you all in the divine volition, I greet you with the love of the fiat. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Corrado, April, 1945. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. I think also this letter is very fitting for us today because we are almost close to the end of these letters. And her advice for us to begging us, we can take this letter not only for her, but the point is that we may see these letters as also addressed to each one of us. And begging us to never put aside the divine will and to let it become, to take root in our souls, to be just a way of life, a way of life. As she mentions, through every breath, heartbeat, to give ourselves back to God. He himself will make his work, he will complete his work in us. He's the divine master, he's the divine artist. He will mold us a little by little through his Holy Spirit, through the sacraments. As long as we stay close to the sacraments and we have these desires to be living in this way, to make it a way of life. And I will say also to approach this gift with simplicity. We don't have to know every single effect that the acts of the divine will they produce. Sometimes it's better not to know because that takes away really the whole point that our real intention is to glorify God and to call the kingdom. The effects, he will take care of those. He will not cheat us again. We don't have to be counting and looking and looking and make all these lists and say, "Aha, you didn't do this, Lord." No, because he's not like that. A way to put it is like we see the effects of the sun. We see that through the effects of the sun, the earth produces The flowers blossomed. The trees changed color. We receive vitamin D, and even though we don't see it, but we experience the effect. So many other things, thousands and thousands and thousands, now probably millions and millions of effects that the sun has upon the earth. Do we have to know every single effect? With the gift of the divine will, we don't have to know every single effect. We have to approach this is only my personal this is my personal idea or approach, that we don't have to approach the gift of the divine will trying to understand every single thing. But first of all, through faith and trust in our Lord Jesus, and by faith to continue living in this way, and a little by little, He will reveal, He will open our eyes, our intellect, our memory, our will be more inclined to do the good and to be more in line with His divine will. It's like an onion that has so many layers. So you peel it and you peel it and you peel it. There are so many layers of humanity, so many layers that our will has form, that they just have to be taken off, peel off over and over and over. So in that way, we can have peace. We just trust in the divine power of God to transform us. And He will transform us in another Himself, in another Jesus. That's the whole point. The saints, as in Saint Ignatius of Loyola, he found his way. Saint, Brother Lawrence, with his method, he found his way. And now we see the explanation of the whole science of how to live in this way through the writings of Luisa. And Luisa is trying to teach us here. So I think this is all, as I said, very fitting for all of us. Luisa telling us, as we come to the conclusion of these letters, begging us not to put aside this way of living, but to go deeper, 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 always, always. So let's move to the next one and see if we can finish today with letters.
Letter number 135 to Sister Giovannina, In Voluntate Dei, Fiat. My good daughter, Sister Giovannina, thank you for your attentions and letting me hear your news. What I recommend to you is to never leave the will of God. Never look at the one who commands you if you want to possess peace and let the divine will reign in your soul. If you let it reign, you will feel a divine strength within your soul, which will give you the grace to do everything that the superiors command of you. And you will feel Jesus working and doing everything together with you. You will never feel alone, but always together with Jesus, who will be your master, will guide your steps, and will hold you tightly in his arms. I leave you in the divine volition, and if you want to keep me content, let me close the doors so that you may never leave. My sister sends you her regards, and I greet you with the love of the Fiat. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, September 18th, 1945. Amen, Fiat.
Thank you. Again, telling us never to leave the divine will. And in this particular case, as she's referring to the superiors, it will be wonderful that in every single religious house, this way of living will be enthroned. Not to do away with their own charism, because the di living in the divine will, embracing this way of life, is not about getting rid of the different communities. It's just doing what the Lord calls us to do in every single vocation, in every single community, now united with the will of God. That's why I said that living in the divine will is so Catholic. Why? Because Catholic means universal. So this way of living is so Catholic because it's universal. You don't need to become a nun. You don't need to become a priest. Priests, they don't need to become diocesan priests. They don't need to become religious. Religious, they don't need to become diocesan to live in this way. Each one of us, in the vocation, in the place that the Lord calls us, is embracing that charism and now in union with the divine will. Imagine me trying to go to the, let's say, to the Franciscans, trying to change their charism to become Franciscans of the divine will. It will not work. And this is not what the Lord wants. But he wants the Franciscans, the Benedictines, to embrace this way of living, to work and to pray, calling to have that constant awareness, to have the knowledge of the divine will, that now your work, your prayer, is to, first of all, to fulfill the first line of the Our Father, Sanctificetur Nomen Tuum, thy will, hallowed be your name, may your name be glorified, praised, adored through everything I do, but also that through my simple acts, now I'm calling the kingdom. So in that way, by every single community entering this way, now basically they are making up for what their members have not done in the past. Now they are basically completing everything that all those in the past and those religious communities, they are missing in their own acts. That they did everything for the love of God to glorify Him, but is missing the second aspect, the calling of the kingdom. So again, no need to, I will say, not even a need to create new orders, new communities, just to live in this way. Just remember, the Lord, what is the house of prayer that the Lord wants? The soul. He has sealed for what soul? I mean, for what house, what temple? The temple of the Blessed Trinity, the temple of the divine will that is the soul, because the soul was supposed to possess the gift of the divine will operating in each one of us. So now, never to live this way of living, never to abandon this. Again, it will be wonderful if every religious community will embrace this. Imagine the Salesians, the Salesian family, the children of St. John Bosco, working with the youth, uniting themselves as they pray, as they do so many things, summer camps, and all of these things, teaching them, but now in union. These communities, they will even flourish even more. And now the Jude will receive this gift in a very natural way. They don't need to change their name and their way of life. They just have to incorporate this gift and do everything they do in union with the will of God. So the same for all of you who are married. So don't start having any ideas. Is leaving your vocation there is calling the divine will to be in you as you take care of your house, your children, your daily routines. So It will be wonderful if all superiors, if all bishops, if the Pope will embrace this, if all priests or religious communities. But one day we hope it will happen. The church will come to understand the whole divine science and it will be embraced. It's also it's been decreed by our Lord in the Book of Heaven. So now our job is our duty, our ministry, really. We have to see this as our ministry. To see this as a way of calling, hastening the kingdom of the divine will. To be faithful to the to this way of living. And even when it's difficult to go through situations again, even those those of us who are under the obedience of the bishop or a religious community or superior, even when those moments arrive, to remember that everything works for the good of those who, now we can say for those who live in the divine will. Because even those moments, they become a moment to encounter the Lord, to encounter Christ in the simple sipping of your coffee every morning, in the simple chewing as you take lunch. It becomes a moment to encounter Christ in us, and a moment to call the divine will to hasten. A moment to glorify God, an occasion to give Him glory, adoration. And then, when we do our rounds of creation and redemption and our rosary and all of those things, everything becomes then a rhythm, a way of life, part of us. So now we have a right to the last letter. Let's see what Luisa will say to this nun and what she will say to all of us.
Letter number 136 to a nun. In voluntate Dei, fiat, my good daughter in the divine volition. Oh, how I'd love to find you always in the sea of the divine will. Even every tiniest act of yours would cover you with its sanctity, with its love, with its peace, and you would feel as though repatriated into the celestial fatherland. My daughter, be attentive. Never allow it to escape you. If you do so, you will never feel alone, but always in the company of my sweet Jesus, who, like a skillful painter, as you do your most tiny acts, also human, will take his divine brush in order to portray his likeness in you, and will say to you, my daughter is like me in everything. As for the death of your sister, do not worry. On the contrary, you must thank the Lord for taking her as a virgin. Rather, pray that he will bring her soon into heaven. Do not be concerned for your mama. The Lord will take care of her. I return your greeting for my sister, for the Sumidomos, and for Rosaria. Pray for me. I leave you in the divine volition to make yourself a saint. I send you my regards with the love of the fiat. Give them to Mother Superior for me. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado. October 8th, 1945. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. This is the third time that tonight that Bishop Picaretta is saying to remain in the divine will, not to leave the divine will, to always be in the sea of the divine will, even the tiniest acts that we do to have that peace, to have that trust in the Lord and His divine providence, that these little tiny acts that we do, they will produce so much light, as we have seen in other passages, especially in the passage that we read some time ago about Father De Francia, his experience, that vision that Luisa Picaretta had of him, and he tells her every single word that I published, I said about the powers of the passion, the divine will, they continue even to grow as I am in glory now. This is the amazing thing also, the new thing that this gives us the opportunity to keep growing in for all eternity, to keep growing in and just to be expanding, to be loving God. As Luisa Picaretta tells us also here, she's leaving us in this, in the divine volition to make each one of us a saint. We should have always that in mind, that everybody who is in heaven is a saint, even if he's not declared by the church. And also that to be a saint, to live the virtues in a heroic way, now to live every single day in a heroic way, every single moment in a heroic way, not to waste anything, any moment, not to waste any single instant of our lives. So I think as we finish tonight with this letter, we should recall all the writings of Lisa Picaretta, everything she wrote, every single word that she wrote in the Book of Heaven, every single word that she wrote in the Hours of the Passion, in the Blessed Mothers, in the Rounds, and every single letter that she wrote, trying to teach the gift of the divine will. You notice that these letters that we read tonight from 1945, 2 years before her death. And hopefully you could see also the progression in her own teaching, how she explains the divine will in a very simple way, because God is simple. So also to take that element from her, because sometimes we try to understand, or we want to understand every single detail, every single effect that the acts done in the divine will have, and that's not really the point. The first point is the first line of the Our Father: may you be glorified. Then may your kingdom come. He will take care of the rest. He will sanctify us. He will give to each one as we are able to receive. And our ministry in the divine will, if we can say, our ministry is now to call the kingdom through our simple acts. So to really have that in mind. That's our charism, we can say. This is the charism of all the children of the divine will. And for each one of us to become little sons and daughters of the divine will, to have that in mind, that from now on, the first priority is to glorify God, the first line of the Our Father, to call the kingdom. And then how do we do it? By recalling, by remembering, and by offering. Then everything will be perfect, complete, eternal. So, as we finish tonight, we recall, we remember, and we offer all the writings of Luisa Picaretta, all her acts. For the coming of the kingdom, we ask her intercession. We ask for the intercession of the first apostle of the divine will, Father Anibal de Francia. We also recall, remember, and offer all his acts, sacrifices that he did for the kingdom, and we ask his intercession. And so many others that we especially know that are close to us, we recall, we remember, we offer all the acts of Father Robert Young. We recall, we remember, and we offer all the acts of Father Julio. And so many other members, that especially those who belong to this cenacle that have gone before us. But we remember them, we offer them, and we ask for their intercession that we may receive the grace to remain united or to be united with the divine will, to never depart from that union, to be always in the union with the divine will, and then just to keep growing and growing until one day we may enjoy what they already see, what they already possess, that we may begin to possess that life here. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. Seed of wisdom, pray for us. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Thank you so much.